Blog Talk Radio.
And the title of this specific lesson is Prosperity is Something You Do. And I want to make this personal, and I'm going to have you say to yourself, prosperity is something that I do. Come on.
Prosperity is something that I do.
Now, it's good when you understand that, because if you ever get the idea that prosperity is something that you do, then you take your power away from conditions and circumstances. Then, from that point on, you're not making your prosperity dependent upon what the president does or does not do. This present president has already served you notice anyway. He told you before he was elected. And if you, whether you like him or not, you have to give him credit for being honest and keeping his promise. Before he was elected, he told you, if I'm elected, I ain't gonna give you nothing. As a matter of fact, he went further than that, and he said, if I'm elected, I'm gonna take from you what the Democrats gave you. And he's doing it, and boy, people are bawling. But you see, this lesson will give you the victory over all of that when you realize that prosperity is something that I do. Say it to yourself again. Prosperity is something that I do. I want to make it very, very personal. And I want you to say, my prosperity is something that I do. Say it again.
My prosperity is something that I do.
Get it out of your head that your prosperity is something that the president is supposed to do. Do you know most people who vote for somebody to be president, a governor, a mayor? You know why they do that? Because they're really voting for this person to make them prosperous. And whoever among the politicians can tell the biggest and the best story to make the people think that he or she is going to make them prosperous many times, that's the one that gets elected. But this is one error that the entire population is going to have to get out of. My prosperity is something that I do. Say it again.
My prosperity is something that I do.
Come on, stand up, because this is the first idea that I want to give you in this series. Because you're really not going to prosper until you come to the understanding that your prosperity is up to you. You say, yes, but Reverend Ike, I thought God in heaven was going to do it for me. God has already given you the laws of prosperity, the rules of prosperity, which we're going to share in this lesson and in these series. But you see, you must apply the rules of prosperity. You see, that's another thing. God Almighty is not even going to apply the rules for you. Back to the old cliche again, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. All right. I want you to yell this at yourself. I want you to call yourself by your first name and jab yourself in the chest with your finger and say to yourself, John or Joan or whatever your name is, your prosperity is something that you do, and you're talking to yourself. Go ahead and do it. Your prosperity is something that you do. But you see, it's a wonderful thing when you take responsibility for your own prosperity, because then you take your prosperity out of other people's hands. And as long as your destiny or your prosperity are in other people's hands, you are in trouble. I've told you this many times, and it's worth repeating also. One of the things about a lot of people is that they just don't want to take responsibility for themselves. They don't want to take responsibility for their fate. There's something in human nature that wants to depend on other people to do everything for them and to blame other people when things don't go like they want them to go. And that's where we're different in this church, in this philosophy. We believe in what Lord Byron said. I am the captain of my soul. I am the master of my fate. Say that aloud. Come on.
I am the captain of my soul. I am the master of my fate.
Now, I pray for all of the officers of this nation from the president on down. But I don't let them give me anything. Because, you see, if the president giveth, then the next president may take it. If the Democrats giveth, then the Republicans may take it. You see, that's another thing also. Be careful who you let give you something. And I've got a little secret to tell you. If somebody gives you something, baby, some way, somehow, it's going to cost you. You're going to pay. See, some of you think that you're getting this lesson from me for nothing. Most of you know better. But before you get out of here today, you're going to give me some money. And the doors are going to be locked, and if you try to get out without it, they're going to trip you up. I make people pay me. And it blesses them and it blesses me because what people get for nothing, they value it the same. So you see, it's really, at the bottom line, impossible to get something for nothing, and you got to be careful how you give folks things. If you give your brother, your lazy brother, too much, you'll take his self-motivation from him. Let him sleep on your couch just long enough to get a job. And if he doesn't go looking for a job real fast, put him out. Tell him Reverend Ike said that his prosperity is something that he must do. Remain standing. You'll find this is not the usual type of sermonizing we do around here. This is a participatory sermon and message. And I'm glad you understand that prosperity is something that you do. It has been truly said that no rule of success will work if you don't. Translate that into the first person. No rule of success will work if I don't. Come on.
No rule of success will work if I don't.
And I've got some more wonderful good news for you. I have found out how to get to the top. How many of you want to get to the top? Raise your hands and say, I want to go over the top. Well, here it is. The way to get to the top is to get off of your bottom. Come on, shout that with me. The way to get to the top is to get off of your bottom. That's the first thing you do if you want to get to the top. Now, you can translate the last word into the most graphic language imaginable. Those of you who are saved, you can leave it at bottom. Stop sitting on your brain. People sitting on their bottoms, I wish I was at the top. Nobody will help me. Get off of your bottom and start moving toward the top. That's how you begin. All that's printed on this nice learned lesson sheet. Reverend Ike often says, if you work with the stuff, it will work for you. You hear all the time good testimonies of how people succeed and prosper through this ministry. But sometimes I get negative testimonies. Like the lady down in Alabama some time ago when I was down there, people were telling how they were being blessed, how they were being helped, how miracles of success and prosperity were happening in their lives. And one lady after the meeting came up to me and said to me, Reverend Ike, you didn't do a thing for me. Well, I could read her right away. I looked her right back in her eyes and I said to her, yeah, and you didn't do a thing for me either. Because you see, I'm not the one that you try to get something for nothing from. The stuff that I use it. You have to work with it. You have to use it in your mind. It makes you give. It makes you give up your negative thinking for positive thinking. It makes you give of your substance. Yes, it makes you give some money as well. It makes you become a systematic giver. And I knew that if the stuff wasn't working for her, it was because she wasn't working with the stuff. One more last shouting statement here, and I'm going to let you sit down and start writing. And it's good to know this about success also. Success is an inside job. Shout it.
Success is an inside job.
By that I mean success is a job that you have to do within your own mind. You see, that's another thing. Get it out of your mind right now that success is something that happens for you out there. Success is not going to happen on a job until, first of all, success happens in your mind. Success is not going to happen to you in the world until, first of all, success happens for you in your mind. You've got to become mentally successful. You've got to see and feel yourself as a successful person. It's an inside job that you got to work at every day. And that's what this church, this ministry, this school is all about, to teach you how to do your inside work. And the Bible says the Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. When you sit down and read your study guides and your positive thinking books and listen to those tapes in the stillness of your mind, nobody may see you doing that. But oh, when your reward comes, everybody will see it. Everybody will see that long mane crawling down your back. Everybody will see that ice dripping from your fingers. Everybody will see that big new house or that fabulous co-op. Got a testimony here right now. The lady was told she couldn't get a co-op in a certain place because they wouldn't even let Negroes, whoever they are, into that place. And she needed so much and so much money to get the co-op. Where are you, Ms. Harris? And she had tried, and so she started doing her inside work. And bless God, she got into that co-op, and not only that, she owns the largest share of any of the owners of that co-op. And here is the certificate. Well, bless your heart. They said that they weren't going to have any Negroes in there.
That's right.
What are Negroes?
I don't know.
See, that's another thing. I have told you folks to stop calling yourself all kinds of names. The only color that I own is what? Green, baby. You folks can call yourself anything you want to. Call me what? Green. I have told you folks time and time again that the only color of power in the American economy is what?
Green.
And if you get enough green power, baby, folks won't care what color your face or anything else is. Well, anyway, Ms. Harris, I'm glad that you got into this co-op. And isn't this wonderful? This is her certificate. And she owns the largest, more shares than any of the other owners of that co-op. All right, be seated now and let's continue this study. Oh, yeah, I was talking about you folks calling yourself all kinds of different names. What's the color?
Green.
What's the color?
Green.
Now, that's the only color I have in this church. That's why I don't let them call me no black preacher. Don't you never call me no black preacher. I'm a green preacher. What kind? Be careful how you identify yourself, and always identify yourself with what you want. Now, black is beautiful, but green is the only thing that buys anything in the American economy. And I don't care how black you are, unless you've got some green. Shame on you. I have to tell you this again for the thousandth time because it fits in so nicely here. I'll never forget the first time I preached in New Orleans, Louisiana at the Rivergate Auditorium. For the first time, a Jewish associate of mine came down to the Deep South to meet with me. And so before the meeting was out, I asked him to go outside before the crowd dispersed and get a taxi for me and wait for me. So he did. So when we got to the hotel, he said, you know, this is my first Southern experience, and I got to tell you what happened in that cab. He said, when I went out and got in that cab, holding it for you, suddenly these thousands of black people began to pour out of the Rivergate Auditorium. And the cab driver, who was a white gentleman, said, I wouldn't ride one of them in my cab for nothing. And so he said, I replied to him, well, guess who's coming to dinner? He said, well, there's one coming, but this one can buy your whole fleet of cabs if he wants to. To which the gentleman replied, well, I don't mind riding him then. What was the color? He didn't like black. But he liked what? Green. He wouldn't ride black, but he was glad to ride what? Green. Now, it's interesting, when I go to New Orleans to preach, the last couple of times I was there, they send a couple of police captains to my room, and they drive me from the hotel backstage inside the building. Green power. If you be something, do something, and have something, people will respect you whether they like you or not. And you see, that's another thing. You know, it's good for folks to like you, but most of all, you have to command what? Respect. I won't call the name of this other city. I remember I was in another city once, and there were a lot of the local ministers who wanted to meet me, but they didn't want anybody to know that they wanted to meet me. Oh, no, I couldn't. No, we can't have our name out with that Reverend Ike. But we sure would like to meet him. And you see, I've got a lot of Nicodemuses. So we got together the next day, and they began to make their remarks one by one. And finally, one minister got up, and he looked at me in the presence of others, and he said to me, I like your money. Which told me a lot of things. I don't give a damn for your theology. But I like your money. Prosperity is something you do. Prosperity is something I do.
You think you know how the world works? You think that this material universe is all there is? But what if I told you the reality you know is one of many?
This doesn't make any sense.
Not everything has to.
Keep it locked on Hindsight Radio.
Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man, that's how long I've been on ya.
Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a fuck what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask, cause I'm not sure. Do anybody make real shit anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness. Cause right now, that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness. That I would even show up to this fake shit. So go ahead, go nuts, go ace shit. Sexy in my pastel on my base shit. Act like you can't tell who made this. New gospel, homie, take this. And take this, haters.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. That's how long I've been on ya.
I need you right now. I don't know if you got a man or not. If you made plans or not. God put me in your plans or not. I'm tripping this drink, got me saying a lot. But I know that God put you in front of me. So how the hell could you front on me? It's a thousand years, it's only one of me. I'm tripping, I'm caught up in a moment, right? Cause it's Louis Vuitton dine night. So we gon' do everything the kind like. Heard they do anything for a Klondike. Well, I'll do anything for a Blondike. And she'll do anything for the limelight. And we'll do anything when the time's right. Baby, you're making it.
faster,
stronger.
Oh. That don't kill me. Oh. It only makes me stronger.
Oh.
I need you to hurry up, man.
Oh.
Cause I can't live much longer.
Oh.
I know I got to be right now.
Oh.
Cause I can't get much stronger.
Oh.
Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya. Like I never told ya. Don't act like I 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 told ya. Baby, you're making it
better, faster, stronger.
How long I've been on ya?
Hindsight Radio, the place for right knowledge.
Peace, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Chief Tuesday Show with your host, Akeem Hell, here on Hindsight Radio, the information station changing the nation. I hope everybody's doing well out there. I know it's Christmas Eve for some folks who are going to be sharing some time with their family and things like that. So I'm not going to keep y'all all night. Do about an hour or so, take a call or two, maybe. It just depends. Mainly I got on tonight because I need to make an announcement. For the Hindsight Radio Prosperity Ritual. That will take place at 11:30 p.m. New Year's Eve. That's the 31st. If you want to join me, you can join me. I'm gonna show y'all how to bring in the new year and bring about the things you want good to happen. You know, that's why it's called prosperity. And one of the requirements that you must have, number one, is positive energy. Other things you need to have is a pencil, a brown paper bag, or because you're going to tear that up and write on it, or you can get parchment paper, one of the two. Also, if you have it, some cassia oil is cinnamon. Cinnamon is good for, you know, bring about prosperity, money, wealth, things like that. Because, you know, what I do personally when I write on it, I like to put a little oil on it, on my thing. So I do two rituals, you know, when we used to do it as a group. I didn't have a chance to do that, but I always went home and did mine with some oil, and then I burned it. And what are you going to do? You're going to write on there everything that you want good to happen for 2020. You know, good for yourself, good for your family. Make sure you do send good vibes out to, you know, people that you know out there that you want to see success. You know, even send good vibes out to you, you know, people you've had some issues with. You'd be surprised how far that goes. What you put out is what you get. You know, that's why you want to constantly put out good energy, good vibes. Now, I do know sometimes things come your way that are negative. People come at you sideways, and you got to check them. Yes, nobody's saying that not to check them. Don't let people run over you. But at the same time, you want to not be overly judgmental because that judgment will come back on you. You know, just handle that situation. If you're in a bug, stop thinking about it, move on. Because your thoughts brings reality. Everything you're thinking, you are creating through your thoughts. And a lot of stuff that you're dealing with right now comes from a thought that you had sometime in the past. If you really are honest with yourself, you will see that. A lot of people don't want to be that honest. No, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. I have nothing to do with this. Nothing. You know? I got to really be careful about what I say, because I have been seeing the reality of the things I've said, mostly good, and every now and then it was not so good. Even when you're speaking on other people's situation, you got to be careful, because you might, your words, especially if you're in a higher consciousness, your words will bring about whatever that you're saying for that person. I've seen it firsthand. You know, just it's just crazy. You know, you got to be careful. And I really saw that. You know, this week I was working with someone who was doing some stuff that could get them in trouble. And I kept saying, hey, that's gonna eventually get you in trouble. And guess what? He got him in trouble. So even in situations like that, you have to be careful what you say, because even your words can reinforce what's already in their mind might happen. So, you know, I could have just said, hey, you know, that's not a good idea to do that and not add on the extras. But, you know, it wasn't like it wasn't warned over and over again. But anyway, positive words bring positive reality. And start thinking about what you want to get rid of before the new year. You guys got a lot of junk lying around the house. Whether that be material things, or it might even be a person. And it ain't serving you no good. You're not getting any return on your investment of time. You never can get time back. You might have to kick them to the curb. Family members, boyfriends, girlfriends, might be husbands and wives. I'm not promoting breaking up relationships, but what I'm promoting is do not allow the same mess you dealt with in 2019 to be the same mess you're going to deal with in 2020. Let it go. Sometimes let it go. Letting things go makes things better. Let people go that are not going in the same direction or don't want to go in the same direction you are going in. They not even wanted to be coached on the same thing. You know what? This past month, couple of months, so many people dropped out of my circle by themselves. I didn't have to tell them to go. It's just my energy pushed them away, because I'm going on to bigger things. They didn't want what I want. Not to say that, you know, they're bad people, but I'm saying they don't want what I want. I'm looking for what Reverend Ike always says, that complaint, that one complaint. Y'all know what it is. My cup runneth over. That's what I'm looking for, and that's what I have. You got to be careful when your cup runs over, because people can feel that. Because people, I had a cousin on Facebook hit me up for $40. I ain't talked to them in years. Hey, can I get $40? You know, till next month? I'll never see that $40 again. But they never asked me before I gave them the $40. That you know, sometimes you give people money to keep them away from you. But what I'm saying is, as your cup runs over, there's going to be what you call prosperity vampires coming around. Be leery of them, because they can sense your success and they want to drain it. Don't allow them to do that. Don't allow things to do that. Don't allow people to do that. Okay? Be careful. Because guess what? You worked hard to be prosperous through your changing of your mind. And from changing your mind, you put things into action. And I just want to touch it, you know, go back to the whole relationship thing. Some of us, you know, have been hooking up with people or with people, and you know they're draining you. You know it. Some of your only attachments is from children that you have with this person. You know it. They don't want to put forth the effort to do nothing. They want, and then they'll complain about you not doing something right. You know, it's not interesting how people will complain, find the littlest things to complain about, out of all the things you do, just then one time you don't do something, they complain about that. And then when you ask them, well, what is your job? You know the quickest way to shut somebody down? Quickest way. And I've seen this on both sides between men and women. And I've seen women, I've even had it come at me. Oh, a man is supposed to do this and that, have all of these rules and regulations for a man. And then you ask them a question, well, what is a woman supposed to do? All of a sudden, they get quiet. They don't have it. I don't know. Huh? But you know what a man is supposed to do. And I've seen guys do that. Oh, look, y'all are supposed to do this. And then the woman asks them, what are you supposed to do? They get stuck. See, you got to get away from people like that. Because they know so much about what you are supposed to do for them because they're selfish. But they don't even know what they supposed to do for you. You know, men and women are supposed to complement each other, meaning when you're involved with them, you guys are supposed to be going to new levels of consciousness, number one, because you have to do the consciousness thing because you're not going to be able to get anywhere without consciousness, right? So that's where you're supposed to work and have that idea, I want to do more. Build more prosperity, build more spiritual prosperity, working together, making those mental connections. But if you find yourself, you're the one that's, you know, trying to go and they're just sitting there looking for you to do everything and you ask them a question, well, I don't know. You got to leave that person right there because really they're spiritually dead, mentally dead. They look, they're walking around physically, but they're dead. In their spirituality, they're dead in their mental. But they're very perfect in trying to articulate what you're supposed to do for them. Yeah. 2020 is a transitional year. You know, what I mean by transitional, you transition from what you were doing good this year and making it 10 times better. That's the type of demand you're supposed to be making for yourself. That I'm going to do 10 times better than I did this year for next year. We all know that this, you know, January 1st is really a corporate new year. It's a fake new year. It's for the fiction. But we're talking about commerce and business. So, yeah. That's why we're going to do this ritual. And we have April coming up when life is coming back, the trees are growing back, we're going to do another ritual, a new year, the real new year ritual for the living things. So keep that in mind. Do not allow the things that held you back this year to keep holding you back. Keep pushing. The only thing you're pushing against, it's only one thing that you have an issue with. It's one thing. It's not many. It's not all of the, you might have a lot of problems going on, but it's only one problem that you really got that's supreme to all of the other problems. Your mind, your thoughts, your consciousness. Start there. Then all of those other little issues that you got going on, little, big, whatever way you consider them, is going to fall away. Start with changing your mind. Listen to some Reverend Ike. If you don't like Reverend Ike, find somebody else that you can listen to that's positive and feeding you positive messages daily. You got to keep yourself programmed. I know when I don't listen to Reverend Ike on a daily, like I didn't listen to him much for the last couple of days, guess what? I started getting real negative thoughts. And I said, you know what? You're not feeding yourself. You're not balancing yourself. You're not giving yourself positive messages. You know, you need someone to talk to you positive. A lot of y'all people who are on the phones talking to people that just want to talk about their problems. Oh, this is happening to me. The job cut my hours. My check wasn't what it was supposed to be. I don't have enough money to pay my rent. My son is in jail. You know, they got story after story after story weighing your spirit down. You know, feed yourself some positive information. And if you ain't hearing it, it's enough negativity out there to go around. You can feel it. You got to build up an armor of positive energy. All right. I'm going to talk briefly about something that I'm getting off. I might take a call or two. I see a couple of hands up. The phone line's a little light tonight because people out there trying to, you know, look out for their family and save face by buying these gifts. No, I'm not, you know, that's what you want to do, that's fine. It's something about the Federal Register. It's under code 44 USC, section 1507. Filing documents as constructive notice, publication in Federal Register as a presumption of validity, judicial notice, citation. Let me just read this real quick. It's very interesting. A document required by Section 1505A of this title is to be published in the Federal Register. Is not valid as against a person who has not had actual knowledge of it until the duplicate originals or certified copies of the document have been filed with the Office of Federal Register. And a copy made available for public inspection as provided by Section 1503 of this title. So they're saying anything that the federal government has that they're using to promote some policy, it's basically, you know, I'm just summarizing, it needs to be documented in the Federal Register. If it's not in that register, it's not valid. Okay? All right. Unless otherwise specifically provided by statute, filing of a document required or authorized to be published by Section 1505 of this title, except in cases where notice by publication is insufficient in law, is sufficient to give notice of the contents of the document to a person subject to or affected by it. The publication in the Federal Register of a document creates a rebuttal presumption. Okay? One, that is that it was duly issued, prescribed, or promulgated, that it was filed with the Office of the Federal Register and made available for public inspection at the day and hour stated in the printed notation. That the copy contained in the Federal Register is a true copy of the original. And four, that all requirements of this chapter and regulations prescribed under it relative to the document have been compiled with. The contents, now notice this, the contents of the Federal Register shall be judicially noticed and without prejudice to any other mode of citation may be cited by volume and page number. So what it's saying that if it's in the Federal Register, it shall be judicially noticed, meaning that it could be used in the court. So why am I reading this, letting you know? It has to do with the infamous lock-in and the W-4 form, the stuff that they want you to follow, these lock-in letters, all these things. That's something to do with that. So what I'm going to read to you now is a Treasury financial manual. I told you guys I've been waiting on some stuff, right? Finally came the day. And I haven't been able to sort through all of it, but I sort through a few of it. And a lot of this is going to be in my private membership that's coming soon. But I want to read of this Treasury financial manual. This is an old one from like 2006. So I'm sure they got newer ones. Now, this is supposed to go into the Federal Register, and if it's not, then it's not valid to even use. But here, this is a PDF, so I can't share this with you in the chat. So, but this is actually transmittal letter number 622. You might be able to find it on online. 4025.60, submission requirements for form W-4. Okay? Let me read number one first. This TFM, which is the Treasury Financial Manual, bulletin notifies agencies that employer submissions requirements for the form W-4 employees withholding allowance certificate have changed. Effective April 14, 2005, the Internal Revenue Service no longer requires employees to routinely submit Form W-4s. So, It's saying that employers don't have to give them the W-4s anymore. Employers may be directed in a written notice or a future published guidance to send certain forms W-4 to the IRS. Consequently, 1 TFM 34000 subsection 402560 has been amended as follows. So what it's saying is they're going to target certain W-4s. Well, I'll read the next section. Here it is. In the past, employers had to routinely send the IRS any form W-4 claiming more than 10 allowances or claiming complete exemption from withholding if $200 or more weekly wages are expected. Employers no longer have to submit these forms W-4 to the IRS. However, forms W-4 are still subject to review. Employers may be directed in a written notice or in a future published guidance to send certain forms W-4 to the IRS. So they're saying if a person claims more than 10 dependents on their W-4 or they claim exempt, those are automatically supposed to be transmitted to the IRS. You know, the IRS want to know if they not getting they're not able to rob you, so they want to know who's not giving up, who's not volunteering. Okay. The IRS also will use information reported on forms W-2, wage and tax statement, to more effectively identify employees with withholding compliance problems. So they don't care about the W-4. They're going to look at your W-2s and see how much money they get or not getting, and then they're going to target you. In some cases where a serious underwithholding problem is found to exist for a particular employee, the IRS may issue a notice commonly referred to as a locked-in letter to the employer specifying the maximum number of withholding allowance permitted for a specific employee. After the IRS issues a lock-in letter, if the employee wants to claim complete exemption from withholding or to claim a number of withholding allowance more than the maximum number specified by the IRS in the lock-in letter, the employee must submit a new form W-4 and a written statement to support the claims made by the employee on the form W-4 to the IRS. Did you see the remedy? Did you see the remedy for the lock-in letter? Let me just keep reading, then I'll explain. The employer must disregard this new form W-4 until the IRS notifies the employer to withhold tax based on the new form W-4. However, if at any time the employee furnishes a form W-4 that claims a number of withholding allowances less than the maximum number specified in the lock-in letter, the employer must withhold tax based on that form W-4. So they're saying, so if you got a problem with them locking in their money, taking your money, you're supposed to submit a new W-4 and a written statement to support the claims made by the employee on the form W-4 to the IRS. Right? And you got to send that directly to the IRS. Right? Now, they're telling the employee to disregard it until the IRS let them know, to let you off the hook. But if you do another W-4 that claims where they can take more money than they already taken, they're saying, oh, keep that one. Let them do that. You see? This is a letter that goes to the job. Now, is this letter in the Federal Register? If it's not, then this is not valid. But what I want to point out is this. It's telling you when you get these lock-in letters, you're supposed to do another W-4 and write a written statement. Now, me, if it was me and my money, I would be do another W-4, a rescission W-4, and put a statement and start questioning their tactics and start using all constitutional statements in my letter to them about due process, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That's how I would attack that. Now, will you get remedy from that? Possibly. But what you're setting up is for the lawsuit that I've already set up for you guys. It's on my website, RS4. It's the lawsuit to go after them, and that includes the lock-in letters and all the other stuff they've been doing and ignoring. Because when you use my IRS letter, you know they're not going to respond. You're going to hit them with that 3 times, default them, and take their ass to court. And say, hey, You guys forcing money out of my check, but you're not responding to me, showing me the rules that you can even do that. Because the rules say all of this is voluntary. I don't have to give you jack. I don't have to even do this W-4. You're making me do a W-4. You're putting me into involuntary servitude, and you're making a judicial determination on my paycheck without a court order. You see? This is why you guys got to understand the rules of the road, rules of the court. Because when they make these decisions, that's a judicial determination. When they're taking your compensation, your hard-earned money, without someone saying that they're right. They're just assuming they're right. But, yes, they can do that to their U.S. citizen. I've been putting all kinds of stuff. I put my certified copy of my passport. Oh, after I got it as a national, all kind of things. And rescind my signature off that W-4. Y'all know that's in the passport explanatory statements, right? So there you go. Let me see. There was another letter I had here. Let's see if I want to go into that. Oh, actually, I have the Federal Register sitting in front of me. I haven't had time to go through it all. Maybe because it's 923 pages. It's a lot. It breaks down all the rules of the road for every department out there. Post office or postal service, Treasury Department, all of them. All right, let me go here. There you go. The lock and letter people, if you were listening, there you go. There you have it. Gave you a little remedy. You know, a little general remedy. If you astute enough, you would understand what I just said and go look that law up. And it said the Federal Register shall be judicially noticed, because you can take that into court and say that that information is not here. Not in there. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to be nice. I got, 13 minutes. This is planning on staying for now. I'm going to take one phone call. 682-564.
Hey, what's up, Noble? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Peace.
Peace, brother. What's going on, bro? In a minute, man. I didn't bother you because you was going to all your seminars.
Yeah.
Let me leave
it
alone, man. Let's get a rest on.
I'm gonna have some short shows. Last, shows of the year is gonna be short. Not sure about even Thursday. I might play some old stuff on Thursday.
I'll be listening.
I probably won't do my seminar until February because my January is booked already.
Right.
I got a big trip I'm taking in the middle of the month. I got my parents. They're going to be married 50 years. We got something going down there.
Congratulations on that one.
Yeah. January is booked up. So my first seminar probably won't. My first seminar will probably be the first week of February. Somebody's working on one right now, possibly Toledo, Ohio, Charlotte. I got to get through this holiday days that's going on.
You
had a question? What's going on, bro?
Yes, bro. First of all, start with good news. Purple Crown Logistics is on the way. I just have a few situations to do as far as my EIN thing and I got my DBA, I got my LLCs, so it's just a continuation from 2020, so I can be prosperous, and once I get my passport thing situated, so I know how you get down, hopefully we can do some business, because, I'm trying to venture off in a lot of things once I get this thing cracking, I'm on it, man. I'm trying to do big things, man, and I told my high spirit, man, I'm going to see you this year, next year at one of these seminars so we can finally meet. Because I've been listening to you for a whole year.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So,
one of the questions I'll ask. Make it happen.
The question I got emailed about the passport process now is $300. How long is that for?
No, it's $300 off.
Oh, so it's $200.
$300 off. No.
Oh.
No. That's for the whole process. My process is the big process. It's $1,500, but I took $300 off until, I think, the end of the year. So I think somewhere in January.
Okay.
I forgot which day. You got until, you know, probably January 4th, 5th, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. So if I don't do that one, then I have to do the $500 one and get that cracking.
The $500 one is just teaching you how to do the passport alone, and you have to do all that. You get a rejection letter. You don't know how to do it. You have to schedule a consultation with me, a national consultation, meaning you have to get the $200 consultation, and I'll show you how to navigate those letters. But if you do the $1,500 process, that includes that plus showing you how to fix your driver's license, showing how to do the SS-5, then the ultimate is the birth certificate, getting that all correct.
Oh, okay.
So, and that includes making sure you get the passport if you're following through.
Mm.
I got one dude who paid the $1,500, but he gave up. I can't make you get, you know, they gave him that cheap letter. Oh, you're a U.S. citizen, you know, 14th Amendment, which is that's one of the easiest letters to get around. But some reason he couldn't get around it. But he basically didn't. He gave up. You know, I didn't hear from him for months, and then he just kind of let the application expire. So he got to reapply again. He would get it if he
got crazy.
It. But But people, you know, they have
so
different motivations.
Yeah,
well,
sure,
you know,
your belief system.
See, people think they're ready for this walk, but when they start walking it, they start, you know, punking out. And, you know, a lot of these brothers today, they have the appearance of men, but they don't have the qualities of men. You know? And this is one of the reasons why sisters are so vulnerable today, because they don't really have, there's not many men out there that's going to stand their ground. If they didn't stand their ground for themselves, you think they're going to stand their ground for their woman? And that's the, you know, and see, the thing is, the female, the black female, is highly sensitive to that. She's looking for a protector, a real one. And she can smell a punk coming a mile away, you know. Sisters don't like punks. You know, that they get turned off by that. There's a lot of guys claiming they're men, but they ain't. They're not having the qualities, and that probably comes from not having a proper role model as a man around. Because I'm noticing that the roles, I see the sisters be going in their straight warrior mode, and they get what they want for the most part. It's a lot of the times I see issues is with the brothers, and that's probably because they don't have
the
proper
attitude,
guidance.
You know,
it's attitude. It's all about attitude.
Yeah.
The brothers that are getting it are getting it. They're going there, boom, I got mine, and, you know, so such and such. They go in there with the authority. The brothers that I see getting it got man qualities. You know,
the brothers
I see getting resistant got man qualities. They fully know who they are, and they're going in there, and they're doing their thing. Now, some situations are a little difficult, like child support and stuff like that. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about brothers that haven't got none of those issues, and they're getting blocked. None of them. No IRS, no nothing, and they get blocked. And I'm like, you're supposed to be the one to get through.
And
then I talk to them more, I notice they are scared of these people.
Scared to talk
to them. I've listened to one on the phone. He like, one was talking to the IRS, he letting the IRS man call him a taxpayer.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, you ain't going to rebut what he's saying? Like, come on, yo. But sisters, maybe, you know, sometimes sisters do have a lot of flavor in their voice, but at the same time, that flavor gets them what they want. You know, they have learned how to survive through this system. Unfortunately, our brothers got to step up our game, man. We got
to
get better.
Just morale. The morale just need to be. The morale got to get some steroids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what it is, a lot of brothers have been burnt by different sisters, and they still licking their wounds from that. But they got to realize, man, to be a man, you're going to get burnt by not only
for sure.
In relationships, you're going to get burnt in business, and you can't let that stop you or slow you down. You can't keep looking at heavy sister like she's a bad problem. You can't do that. You know, you got to keep that problem within that person you had. Because if you keep that mindset, you're going to keep attracting that type of person to you.
That's what meditation
is.
Always got to
be looking positive.
Mm-hmm. Look in the mirror a few times, be like, man, I deserve better. And not settle. Not settle for what your mind is saying.
Right. Don't settle for mediocrity. There's a lot of people out there just trying to give out mediocre. No, you know, you're supposed to be going for your best. Be your best self, you know?
Right.
I mean,
work on yourself.
One of us, all of us is going to lose this body. This body is not going to last forever.
Right.
But at least while you're here, you're going to do your best. And those people that you got running around that just want to do whatever, you know, I can't associate with that. You know? That turns me off. I don't even want to be around it. And I ain't even accepting excuses from people. Like, yo, they tell me, listen, I tell them straight up, that's an excuse. They get mad. And they be wanting them to be wanting to fight me. I'm like, dude, are you mad because I actually told you out of all of the people that you're hanging out with, I'm telling you, that's bullshit you're talking right there. It's not you making up an excuse not to be successful. That's what you're doing. You put success with these excuses. You want me to sit there? Oh, yeah, you know, I understand. No. Time is running out. Time to get up and get it done. It's like if your house is burning down, you want somebody to come and just lightly wake you up, and you want them to drag your ass up out of the bed. Like, yo, your house burning down. But really, that's what it is when you don't have prosperity in your life. Your house is burning down. You one step away from being on the street.
Mm.
Broke, poor. You know, that should be urgent. That's like a disaster to have something like that happen to be broke. That's a disaster. Come on. That's why you got to treat it. It's not okay to be broke.
It's not.
It's not okay to be poor. Okay? Because you can't do nothing for nobody if you ain't got no money.
You can't do nothing for yourself.
You can't do nothing for yourself. Nothing. Nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You ain't
just be a dreamer.
From nobody. Nothing. Nothing.
Window shopping.
Money ain't everything. You talk about money. That's right. I talk about money all the time because I need money all the time.
That was good. That was good, though. I need money all the time.
You do. Dude.
You do.
We on the
you
phone.
Do. You do.
I'm using my phone, and that costs money. Right?
Right.
I'm using electricity.
Right.
That costs money. So every second of the day, I am circulating some type of currency.
Right.
Whether it be in my time or some actual physical money. So, yes, I'm thinking about it all the damn time. And don't get mad at me because I do. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else and go back to where you were and listen to all them broke people tell their broke stories. And guess what? 10 years from now, y'all be telling the same story, doing the same thing, while I be driving by in that Bugatti, Bentley, Range Rover, whatever. I might be flying over you.
You know what I'm saying?
You're like, landing in the airport. Doing my thing. Not to say I'm better because I'm doing that, but guess what? I'm gonna be feeling real good with a pocket full of money. And if somebody comes in and they need a little help, I could drop it on them and not worry about them paying me back.
Right. You'd be lending out a ball.
You see what I'm saying? Guess what? That's why the scripture said that. Don't worry about making them pay for you because you got so much, your cup runneth over, you can give, and don't worry about them paying you back. See, broke people, when they lend money, they get, they anxious about lending money. Why? Because they need it for themselves.
Right.
And they're going to hound your ass to give that money back.
Right. I think that's still
another problem. Losing friends over that, you know.
Yes. Your spiritual growth, Noble. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You got to be spiritual grounded to understand those type of, you know what I'm saying, pathways to where how you know how to navigate. Because if you're spiritually blind and you rely on the flesh, man, you will get discouraged and you will not finish your passport.
Right.
Because there's no connection.
No,
you know
but, if you stay in communication with me, now I ain't going to coddle you now. I'm going to tell you right now. And I didn't coddle you.
No, we're adults. Yeah, we adults.
I'm like, dude, adults. You know, grab your nuts and go in there and do your thing, man. Call me back when you get done. You know, I said exactly that. Don't put that picture nuts up. You know, you sit down when you click the what? Come on, now. Listen, I can only be me. And that
right.
whole trying to, you know, I don't think it with the guys, we got enough problems and obstacles as it is out there for a brother to come in and start sweet talking and downplaying the situation. Nah, we got to be strong and be able to hear a man say something manly and not get our feelings hurt.
Right.
Yeah. People said somebody, one of my good friends said something to me last week and it hurt, man. It was actually getting me in the gut. But. As a man, I took that gut punch, and then I was like, you know what? You're right.
Right.
I'm a man. You're right. I took it, you know, put a little bandage around my rib area and healed up. I healed up as soon as I admitted it. She was right.
Right.
You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, you confronted the situation.
Right. As soon as I said, oh, yeah, you're right, and the pain went away. The pain is when you're trying to resist the truth. You're trying to keep it. Oh, I know I'm fighting that thing, you know? Anyway.
But I need some help, though. I'm going to try to be as discreet as possible. I hope you can follow what I'm saying. You're a smart gentleman, so I figure you can understand. The 9-8.
Okay.
I tried to put it on the on that paper, and...
You can read with the 9-8. You ain't gotta hide that. But what are you talking about? What paper are you talking about?
For the government, for the IRS Gov. You follow me?
You try to use it to get another number.
No, I try to use it to start my process as far as getting my EI. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. You're trying to use that as a responsible party.
Yeah. And I got
you
two of them.
They won't let you do that no more. That's done.
Whoa.
That's over with. Yeah.
Damn.
You're going to have to go in, get the number with the straw man number, and then go and do an 8832 and give it over to the 9-8 number.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I got
now,
the 8832.
Another way to do it. We're really going to have to start doing commerce. We're going to have to hire third-party companies that get EINs for companies so that we don't have our social protection. We're going to have to spend that bread.
Right. Well, I got to spend it.
I talked to the company, the biggest company in the country that does set up companies for anonymity. This company actually... is a registered agent for a lot of the entities we deal with. Guess what? She ain't going to go. I'm going to use them. And they called me the other day, and I said, hey, you know, what benefit of me using you? He said, right out the gate, anonymity. Nobody will never know you are the owner or the controller of this entity.
Damn. So when I jump off.
I said, that's what I'm looking for. That's jumping off right as we speak. I'm in the process of taking care of all of that. I'm working on a few national projects. You know, one brother has a good business going on. We're trying to take that thing national.
We want to take his idea and
you know, this is where we got to start working together as brothers. We see a brother with a good idea. Let's get on board with that brother, feed into his business, Make it get big so we all can get big.
Right, wow, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So, you know, that's all of that stuff happening. That's why January is just such a busy month, because I'm doing a lot of projects outside of hindsight that I'm trying to get jumped off for January so that, you know, my rest of my year I can put my feet up, you know.
Right.
Come February, I'm going to be doing a lot of seminars. I'm going to be doing a bunch of seminars. And this nationality is going to be the topic, but mostly it's going to be doing the trust and CPNs, because we really need all these things, doing tax. Oh, that reminds me, I got something else I need to take care of. Oh, man. That just reminds me. I got to go donate for that.
So basically, when that jump off with the dude, with the amenity,
the amenity process. As soon as I give him the paperwork and pay him.
I'll show y'all, when I do
the private membership, I'm going to show y'all where to go to set up y'all stuff. Y'all can have that.
Okay. So basically you're saying,
I
got to
do it first
right
before
now.
I let y'all do it, because I have to see the mistakes, make mistakes, and, you know, show y'all what to look out for. I can't teach y'all nothing if I don't make any mistakes.
Right.
Teaching comes from mistakes.
Right. So what you're saying with me is that I can't even do the CPN thing, right?
You could do CPNs if you're just trying to get some credit. What I'm saying is you cannot get a new EIN number for your entity. You're going to have to use your straw man number for now and do an 8832, gift it over to the 98 number later. So you have to fill out that form to make it foreign. But to be honest with you, if you set your trust up properly, see, you wasn't at the last seminar. See, I gave everybody a religious trust as a bonus for showing up for the seminar. Everybody that was there at that seminar got that religious trust. And that was a pretty crowded seminar. They got that religious trust. So they can set up their stuff along with that book, Corporation Soul. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going straight religion on everything. My whole existence is going to be based off biblical principles.
Right. I heard that.
Right.
Man,
I got it all lined up. I just got to connect all the dots.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my non-UCC, everything religious. But I'm saying too much. All right, brother, I got to go. All right, see.
No, you ain't said.
I got to go. Save it for next time. Save whatever you got to say
all
for
right,
next
brother.
Time. Peace. All right. Let's go to 404247.
Greetings, Akeem. This is Ho-Yo, and
greetings.
I just wanted to just say that I have enjoyed this call and the dialogue going back and forth. I'm learning a lot. And I did get an email from you on the ritual for New Year's Eve, and I plan to participate in that, and also for the IRS 4. So I'm making the connection that is connected to the lock-in letter, which is where I'm at
now.
Yes,
it is. That suit does have that in there. That's really covering just about everything, you know, ignoring your letters when you send them to, you know, a lot of times you send them a dispute, and they don't answer them. They tell you time. You know, now what they're doing is to get themselves relieved of the liability, they're shipping your debt off, that debt off to a third-party debt collector now.
Okay.
So that's going to handle, you know, that covers the lock-in letter. And that's actually listed in the suit.
Okay, great. Well, I'm looking forward to jumping into that. If you get that
webinar, you get that template. Now, you may have to customize it. If you specifically have that problem with the lock-in letter, you might have to adjust that suit a little bit just to say, this is one of the problems that they did. They locked you in this date and show the exhibit for that. You know, you have to customize it a little bit just to tailor it towards. But that suit generally has a general suit for all the different issues people have. The notices, the ignoring the notices, and not getting a response. And you're trying to force them to respond. And you're getting them to discharge through this suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, because I'm coming up on a year with them. So, yeah, I'd love to get rid of that, get my money back.
Have you gotten my IRS templates before?
No, totally new to this. So,
okay,
like I said, I got your email.
To set up for the suit, you will need the earlier stuff because you got to send correspondence to them and get them to default on that, which they will. I can promise you that. And then you use that information against them in the lawsuit. You got it? You got to set a pattern of them ignoring you.
All right. I heard what you said. I'm just trying to. Okay, so I don't need the IRS webinar for right away. I need
previous. No, you need the other stuff, the previous stuff, because that's going to show you how to respond to them. Like they say you owe some money. Am I correct? That's what they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so those letters, the first ones show you how to correspond with them. And in there, they're gonna ignore you. They're going to send letters like, hey, we need 60 days and never respond. But they'll keep trying to collect, though. So you're going to default them three times on that. Once you default them three times, then you're going to take that information, you know, because you're going to send everything certified return receipt. So you have the green card saying that you sent them this stuff. You're going to get your stuff notarized. Then you're going to take that information and you're going to take them into court. And say, hey, I've been trying to get them, and they've been ignoring me. Here, boom, I need this debt knocked off. You know, if you want to put a monetary value on it, you can do that as well. But you got to do that first. You got to show that you tried to correspond and get resolution first before you take them to court.
Okay.
And that's a biblical principle. You got to go to your brother three times.
Right.
Ain't your brother, but. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. So, I understand.
Right.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take a look at. I'm on your site now, but my screen is frozen. So I'll take a look at that and see. Because I did
send me an email and I'll send you the exact package you need.
Okay.
To get at them.
All right.
Just email me and I'll forward you a link up to that.
Awesome. All right.
All right.
All right. Much appreciated. Happy holidays.
All right. Same to you. You have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you gotta give them notice before you take them to court. 914-920. Last call for the night.
Peace. What's good,
peace,
my
what's
brother?
What's going on? What's
ain't
good?
Nothing, man.
Everything's good with me all the time. My cup running over.
I'm always listening, brother. Always listening. I just haven't spoken in a while. That's all. But I'm always listening.
I know. You know. I thought about you a couple of weeks ago. I said, I ain't listening, to that brother. I wonder how you.
What's going on with you, brother? Everything with me is beautiful, man. This year has been great. Next year will be greater. And we're gonna keep moving.
Ten times greater.
100 times greater.
We got to call it 100, bro. You can only have what you see in your mind.
Hey, that's it.
You never get any further than what you think.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, man. 100 times,
so be it. I'm with you.
You know, I'm on the call because I heard you. I was looking for that book today. And I heard you mention it a couple times, but that Corporation Soul book.
Soul, you can go to thedocumentbase.com, and they have it. They have
what is
book.
It?
Corporation Soul, the Document Base, T-H-E, documentbase.com.
Oh, okay, the Document Base. Oh, the systems, okay.
Yeah, they have it.
DocumentBase.com. Okay. I'll definitely hit them up and get it from there.
Make sure I got the right address here.
I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, just hit them up. They have it.
Okay, yeah, I'll get that from them.
Yeah, they got a new look on it. They got a fresh new look on their site and everything.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm putting it in the chat right now. I was thinking about the sister that runs that site, man. And you know how you have an epiphany about things. You're just reflecting. And I said, man, that sister right there is the definition of commerce that the sister should be doing.
She went from being a participant to just straight up doing what she needed, what she saw. She saw a need, and she went and she did it, and that was it. And now she's just gone, and she's just doing what she wants to do.
When you look at the scriptures, you know, that was the woman, that was all about commerce. The scripture
absolutely
that shows how the woman did commerce, and she is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
You know, bringing in the goods to the house and making sure her house is supplied, stocked up fully, making deals.
And she didn't mess around either.
This Western culture has messed our sisters' minds up.
Yeah.
They think they're supposed to lay back and wait on the man to do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, some of them are doing it for themselves because they said, well, a man ain't doing it. Nah.
Right.
In that Bible, that woman was doing commerce all over the place while her husband was abroad doing his thing. And then they came together and they united and they made it bigger. They make each other better and bigger. You know, we our commerce game is got to get up. But, you know, that's a perfect example of what this is, you know, are supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Too many of them out there looking for this knight in shining armor thing going on that they put out there. You know,
you're supposed to do that.
Do y'all understand? I know some of y'all brothers may disagree with me, but I'm going to say it because I'm my king and I say what I believe. You don't have to agree. Do y'all know that the real boss is the woman? Do y'all know that? That's the boss. If men understood that, and I'm not saying boss in a way where she's over you and dominating you, no. She's the boss because why? You give her the plan, she makes it grow. Didn't she do that with the baby? She took over. She the CEO of bringing life into this world. You just the facilitator. You just, you know, you decide, okay, boy, girl. And after that, it's up to her and the creator. It's up to her to handle all that. You give her, she makes it blossom, make it all grow. Whatever she touches, she may grow. Now, if she's not in the right mindset type of woman, what she touches ain't going to grow. It's going to destroy it. That's why I say life does not grow without the woman. A man does not grow without a woman. On a baby level, that's the case. You grow in your mama's womb, right? You need her to grow. And once you leave your mama's womb, you get with another woman, you need a woman to help you grow. I'm telling y'all how important that woman is. You might be at the top of the head, but she the neck. Whatever the neck go, the head go, right?
Yes, sir.
But it's not saying it in a dominating way. It's just understanding our roles and where we fit in relationships, which makes it successful. Working as a team, working to make things better. Like, I have a lot of ideas, but I also know without the proper woman to touch that, it ain't going but so far.
Well, you 100% on that, you on that.
If the proper woman putting her hands on it ain't going too far, I can make it successful to a point. But without the proper woman, that's why I always have a woman open up my seminars. And since I've been doing that, they've been very successful. Yeah,
yeah.
I have a woman.
I mean, I equate it to the game of chess. The queen is the most powerful piece on the board, and she's there to protect the king. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I equate it to the game of chess. The queen is the most powerful piece, but the object of the game is to stop the king from moving. You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
You use your queen to protect your king, and if you use your queen effectively, 9 times out of 10, you're gonna win the game. So, what you're saying is 100% correct. So,
right. We got to stop disrespecting these sisters. You know, one of the biggest ways we can stop disrespecting sisters, stop listening to that stuff that disrespects them. Because if you listen to that stuff, you're going to disrespect the sisters.
I need to set
up
a...
You got to stop allowing all that stuff.
You're right about that, though, Arkane, for real.
Mm-hmm.
I need to set up a confrontation with you, though. I got mm-hmm. this thing going on. I think I got him, Arkane. I just need a...
Okay,
yeah,
what are you talking about? What are you referring to?
It's the thing I was involved with for last year, but
okay, we talk about it in private.
I tried to take away from it a couple times. It's like they want to give it to me, so I'm gonna take it.
okay,
you know.
Okay.
So I'm gonna take it.
All
they
right.
want to give it to me, so I'm gonna take it. So I just go on the website and schedule it that way, correct?
I'm doing consultations Friday.
Okay.
Tomorrow, I could do it up to a point tomorrow. Better do it for Friday. I set it up for Friday.
All right. I'll go on with that.
All right. Okay, bro.
I'll do that.
All right.
Peace,
y'all.
All right.
Take care.
Peace to God.
All right. Peace to the family and everybody else. Hope everybody's doing well.
All yes,
brother. We gotta start understanding the value of each other. All of us is just important as the other. The man is important, the woman is important. Without each other, none of us would be here. Really. If it wasn't for a man and a woman, none of us would be here. So we gotta stop playing each other down like we're not important. You know, brothers, you gotta start treating them sisters with more respect. I know they give us attitude here and there, you know, but you gotta understand they've been through some things. And yes, us brothers act a little crazy, sisters, we've been through some things too. All right. Peace, prosperity, good health, and much wealth to everybody. And I'll see y'all maybe Thursday. I don't know. Depends on. I plan on taking a little trip, road trip. All right. Peace.
Stay right there.
Stay right there.
You're listening to Hindsight Radio.
We continue now our series titled Wisdom for Happy, Successful Living. And this is an esoteric study of selected parables of Jesus. In this session, we are studying the parable of the pearl of great price. And we would do well to review at this time our definition of parable. Parable is from a Greek term which means a comparison. My definition for parable is that a parable is a two-story story, one story being obvious or exoteric, exoteric, the other story being esoteric, or within the story, or within the outer story. I simply like to say a parable is a story within a story. It is a two-story story. There are two stories running parallel for comparison. Now, the parable of the pearl of great price. You will find the text in the Bible, in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 45th through the 46th verses, and I shall read the text to you. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had, and bought it. This parable of the pearl of great price is among those parables of Jesus called the Kingdom of Heaven parable, because they, and this particular parable, speak of the Kingdom of Heaven. The burden of Jesus' message is to show us what the Kingdom of Heaven is like. Therefore, his language, the Kingdom of Heaven is like. The Kingdom of Heaven is like unto. For the purpose of this study, the term Kingdom of Heaven means the mind and its thinking processes. So what Jesus is teaching us in these parables is what the mind is like. For the kingdom of God in man is the mind of God operating in and through man. It gives you some idea of how important it is to understand the mind and its processes, your mind and its processes. As a matter of fact, the real purpose of the whole Bible is to show you the processes of your mind and how they work. Dr. Bachman has a very interesting book titled, The Bible as the Story of You, and that very title tells it all. Everything in the Bible is the story of the working of the mind. The story of mind and its processes. It is really the story of the working of your consciousness. All of the characters and the events and the places in the Bible are portrayals of the working of the mind, portrayals of the working of consciousness, your consciousness. Take the leading character of the Christian scriptures, for example, Jesus. Jesus is far more than simply a theological figure, far more than just a historical figure. If all you get out of the Christian scriptures, and Jesus in particular, is just the story of a theological character or an historical character, you have missed Jesus as well as the whole Judeo-Christian scriptures. Jesus in the scriptures represents the God-conscious man. Jesus is the realization and the demonstration of the God-conscious man, the man who is conscious of who and what he is in God and who and what God is in him. Jesus is that mind of God in man which knows its oneness with God. We hear Jesus saying again and again, I and my Father are four. I and my Father are one. And so even that is a giveaway in a sense, but the theologians missed it. I and my Father are one. I am this mind which knows my oneness with God. I am this mind which knows my oneness with God. That may be grammatically incorrect, but it is mystically and spiritually correct. So repeat after me. I am this mind, which knows my oneness with God. Now that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's the Christ. And so in these parables of the kingdom of heaven, we are dealing with mind and its processes as the kingdom of God in man. And it's a wonderful thing to watch the processes of mind. In this parable of the pearl of great price, Jesus repeats, and I repeat the text, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. The mind is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearl, seeking the real values of life, health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and infinite money, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. A very shrewd merchant this mind is.
Every mind is a merchant man. Just as I showed you how the mind is always marrying and divorcing, marrying whatever idea it accepts and divorcing every idea it rejects. Again, we're studying about the mind. You see, we're always talking about the mind. I don't care how you put it. The Bible talks about the mind in hundreds, yea, thousands of different ways. But, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is really never, ever talking about anything but the mind. Consciousness. Every mind is a merchant man. And the mind is always buying and selling, selling and buying. Your mind is a busy place. Your mind is doing business all the time. Even when you're asleep, your mind is doing business. For again, there are two major departments of mind, conscious and subconscious. And even while you are asleep at night on the conscious mind level, the subconscious mind is doing business. This is why a lot of things happen to people and they don't know how or why, and they said, oh, tell me that I thought this up. What you subconsciously believe is always doing business in the marketplace of life. P.P. Quimby, a great and early mind scientist, said these words, I found that if I really believed something, it would happen whether I was consciously thinking about it or not. Once that deep subconscious level of mind buys an idea, marries an idea, that idea will be busy buying every other idea that goes along with it and selling the same. This is a part of the meaning of the scripture. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is desperately wicked. There's a better way to translate that. The heart is very secretive. The conscious mind is not always aware of what's in the subconscious. And this is why many times things will crop up that the conscious mind doesn't even know about or even forgot about. Not only does the subconscious mind buy ideas from the conscious mind, but the subconscious mind many times buys direct from the universal subconscious, wholesale, skipping the retail level. How many ideas have individuals subconsciously bought wholesale? When did you first buy the idea that you were going to die? You don't know. You bought that subconscious to subconscious. Where do people get their various negative ideas? If I were to list ideas, well, you take the idea of physical death, for example. Very few people can tell me the exact time, place when you bought the idea of physical death. Just like that, you have subconsciously bought a lot of other ideas, subconscious to subconscious. Write a question. Where did I get this idea? And probe yourself for all of the basic ideas that you accept. Because you see, whatever idea is in your subconscious mind, it's going to be buying and selling according to its nature. And so you bought a lot of stuff and didn't even know when you bought it. Every mind is a merchant man in the marketplace of life. Every mind is continually doing business, buying and selling whatever it believes. What are you buying? What are you selling? Whose religion have you bought? The God you believe in, you bought him too. Some of you have bought Billy Graham's God. Some of you bought John Calvin's God. A few of you bought Reverend Ike's God. A lot of you bought your mama's God. Not too many of you have bought your own God. Paul had gone through that process, and this is why we hear him say in many of his letters, my God. You see, you've got to buy your own concept of God. This is the true meaning of the Christian invitation, which says, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have got to make God personal to you. And you've got to be sure that it is your concept. Mama's God just may not serve your purpose. Some of you bought the Baptist God. Some of you bought the Catholic God. Some of you bought the Lutheran God. Or the Presbyterian God. Or the God of some other evangelist. Some of you might have bought Jonathan Edwards' God. The God that delights in dropping sinners into the pits of hell. I won't call his name, but I heard an evangelist on television saying how he woke up one night just burdened for souls because he saw souls just dropping into hell. Well, I will not buy his God. The hell with his God. I'm not buying any God that delights in dropping souls into hell. Of course, that gives the evangelist good jobs. Well, the soul-saving business is very profitable. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. What you subconsciously believe about God is a part of your self-concept, right? What concept of God have I bought? Closely examine your concept of God. You're a merchant man. You have bought somebody's God.